Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's the pulse of Jayhawk Nation this morning?
I feel like we're on the cusp of being told that this is one of the softest teams he's ever had.
Are we going to get there? Like the Topeka YMCA stuff, that was good. I love that. Did he say that last night? Or does he realize it doesn't matter till March either?
Baylor, some hard-rocking cats.
That was the quote?
No, that's what I was doing. Some hard-rocking cats. I don't know. I didn't hear his post-game last night. But Baylor led wire-to-wire. They're good. They're really good. I've watched them play a number of times now.
I'll take your word for it. You know what you're talking
athletic.
About.
Gonzaga, Baylor, my Hawkeyes. There's some good teams at the top.
I mean, you sent that article last night. Or no, it was just a tweet about how
Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky are all unranked.
Not in the top 25 for the first time since like
the 60s. Yeah. Since Josh was born.
Since Josh was a teenager.
Yeah, that's right. Josh, when you covered the team that year, what was it like to not have any
this
of them
before
ranked?
Before, when I used to have to climb up the ladder and pull the ball out of the peach basket.
Oh.
The last time those three were
in
the
bowl. And then you wised up and cut a hole in the bottom of it.
I did.
Wow.
You were the guy that thought of that?
No.
And then
no.
Naismith stole that idea.
I stole it from somebody.
Naismith stole that idea from you, too.
I stole it from somebody.
By the way, we were on it was the anniversary the other day.
Last week, I know, I saw the anniversary of Naismith stealing the rules of basketball.
That's right.
Lambert, who did he steal them from?
Lambert Will. He's the guy who invented basketball, KU fans. You better rename the arena.
Will Drive.
Lambert Will.
Well, the arena is Allen Fieldhouse. Wow. They renamed the court to Lambert
the,
Will
the
Court.
The street Ryan was alluding
that's
to.
The
yes.
one.
Right.
That's the one.
Yes. Will Drive, Will Hall, because there's Naismith Hall. There's Will Naismith Drive.
I don't honestly care.
Oh, why you got to ruin a good story, place. Ryan? Jeez.
Naismith sounds better than Will, though, too. Like, Will's missing. He needs another syllable. Williams.
Will Smith?
Yeah. Will Smith Drive. It sounds a lot better than Will Drive.
I think there's already a Will Smith, though.
Naismith will steal that, too.
I was the real Fresh Prince.
Jeez. What else has Naismith ripped off? Jan's going to be showing up
here soon. That might have been it, actually. It's the only claim to fame. It's not like he claimed he invented the Big Mac or something.
He claimed that, too?
Yes. That's
stole it from Big Mac?
I invented the Big Mac!
I saw how Michael Keaton stole it fair and square, though.
That's right. I did, too.
Yeah, well, that was scummy, too.
How about that movie? God.
The Founder? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, those two guys.
Yeah.
Like those two hayseeds out in California. Yeah. Like, were they really hayseeds, or was that just the way that they were portrayed? Because they portrayed those guys as like the dopiest dopes of dope.
They were just trusting. That was all.
Yeah.
Nick Offerman was.
That's right. Yeah. Trust. To teach you a lesson. One that Tom Hedrick taught me.
It's an important lesson for everyone. When someone's trying to sell you a shake machine,
don't sell them your fast food business.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And get it in writing, signed by both parties. Get it in writing, signed by both parties.
Be wary of the person selling you the shake machine.
Somebody wants to give you a handshake deal, they're screwing you.
I don't.
They are. You're getting screwed. A handshake deal? Well, let's put it in writing, get some lawyers involved, and let's make this right. Oh, no, handshake deals. No, that I'm out. I'm out. You're screwing me.
Nope. Never trust a hand job.
Shake. Coverage of Chiefs and Bills brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. Andy Reid did not reveal whether or not Patrick Mahomes suffered a concussion. Did not use the word concussion. yesterday in his comments with reporters. Right. Did say that Mahomes is in the protocol. So still has to go through the mandated NFL process to get back on the field. But it seems to me, just like reading whatever, that they're making the case wasn't necessarily a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
That he got knocked, for sure, but maybe not a concussion. Jay Glazer of Fox Sports not only covers the NFL, but of course covers the MMA.
Does he cover the MMA, or does he like have like a stake in this? Because he is like big in the MMA. He trains guys too, right?
Yes.
Doesn't he? He trains fighters and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah. And he thinks there's a correlation.
They didn't think it was so much concussion, more so it's almost like he got choked out. And if you go and watch, it was almost like the defender's arm came over and cut off the circulation right here on this carotid artery. When we're trying to choke people out, and the other sport that I do, we're not getting you here, people. We're getting you right here on these arteries. We're trying to get your one artery here and one artery here and cut off the blood supply to your brain. And when that happens, you get up, and yeah, you look loopy. There's been times where, a lot of times where our fighters get choked out and they don't realize they're out and they keep still trying to fight. And the referee stops it and they're grabbing the referee's leg and, you know, things continue to happen. And I know people are going, well, this is crazy. How could you say that? I'm just telling you the information that I'm going off.
It's probably MMA fighters trying to look at that NFL tape and say, how can I do that quickly to somebody, right?
I thought the carotid artery was something that happened when you ate too much fat. Like
that's a large artery in your.
Yeah, now I learned something new out of that one. I was like, oh, you're going to get carotid arteries. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good.
I think to kind of build off of what Jay Glazer was talking about as well, like as a person that watches a ton of MMA, when you see guys either get choked out or knocked out, like there's a process that they go through afterwards too. Like the doctors rush into the ring and they put them in a recovery position, be it with their feet up, or sometimes it's like this weird like side fetal position thing where they're just trying to return blood flow to that part of your body. Like there's a procedure that goes on after this happens. And even then, sometimes guys get up looking pretty dazed and Bambi legged.
Oh, like, God, yes.
Patrick Mahomes didn't have the benefit of that at all. He just had, was it Eric Fisher that just like yanked him up off the ground? Like, come on.
But
on,
did
man.
You see the look in Patrick's face, though? It looked like dazed and Bambi, like whoa, I just got like wasted out here by somebody. And, you know, a couple minutes later, he runs off the field like he did. He's on his phone immediately afterwards, tweeting anything is possible. You know, those are things you don't do when you have a concussion. The last thing you do when you have a concussion is look at screens and bright lights. Keep that away, right? You got to keep that away to try to get the concussion down. He was on his phone. He was tweeting and doing all that kind of stuff. And we talked about it last half hour. I don't think there's really much doubt right now what's going to happen on Sunday. He's going to play in that game. And we're very fortunate that it wasn't something that could be serious like a concussion. But, you know, as Andy Reid said, back in the day, he probably would have been in that football game again. He probably would have been brought back in. But because they have that independent guy out there who doesn't really work for anybody, he's got to go out there and make sure that you are 100%. And
protect yourself from yourself, too.
Even if it's close, you'd rather be safe than sorry, and that's what they were with Patrick. And it was the right move.
Glazer pretty confident as well the Chiefs will have Mahomes Sunday.
From what I'm told, the information I'm told, when he was evaluated more, he knew everything that happened. I mean, he was on Twitter later that night. When you're concussed, you tell your guys, do not go on computer, don't go on your phone. You want to make sure, because that's its sensitivity right there. He's right on it afterwards, and he was actually trying to get himself back in that game yesterday. So I'm just telling you, Patrick Mahomes, they expect that he will pass all the concussion protocols and that he will be able to play next week. Yeah, they've got a few days before they even get to practice in the first place anyway.
So there you go.
Yep, there it is.
Chiefs back to practice on Wednesday. Maybe he gets through the mandated process by then and practices on Wednesday, or is limited on Wednesday, or what have you. But unless there's some kind of other setback, I think he's probably going to be on the course to be playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so too. And as you heard Jay Glazer say, he's hearing some of the same things that I'm hearing. It's looking good.
I'm all for the Bills over preparing for Chad Henne and everything. Because they still are going to have to. So as long as we can waste more of their time, that's awesome.
And it'd be interesting to see if the Chiefs announce it earlier in the week, or if you just play the gamesmanship and you keep it under your hat until you have to announce it on game day.
Chad Henne does the media on Wednesday, and you get to it on Thursday or Friday, and reports leak out on Saturday that he's going to
be fine and play.
Maybe. I don't know. Right. I don't know. The other one that nobody's asked about yet, we'll see when we get to this, because this is a big one too. Bashaud Breeland also left the game Sunday.
Yeah.
And was in the concussion protocol. And I don't know, you got Stephon Diggs coming this week. Kind of want your number one corner out there. His status could be in question as well. He's really, really important to this defense, and he's going to be in that same similar status. Yep. And we don't know. The as I said, the Mahomes thing looks like you're shaping up to it was something else.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not for Breland or anybody else, that could be a longer process, and you might not see Bashaud Breland on Sunday.
I do wonder though, like this has been something that the Chiefs have had to deal with already, right? Like showing their depth at cornerback. Like,
showed it all year. They started the year.
They started the season mm-hmm. that way.
Remember, Breland didn't play the first four games.
Breland was out for four games. Then you had Charvarius Ward breaking his hand. I mean, you've had a revolving door there, but you've had to had guys step up and show the depth that you have at that
Sneed
position.
Sneed was out for a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and so when you look around this team, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why you're not having that conversation is because you've seen that depth get tested already and you've seen them pass that test. So you're not too concerned with it, but I'm not saying it's like, you know, top of my list. Like I really, if we get news that Patrick Mahomes starting, this certainly goes to the top of my concerns though, when it comes to going into Buffalo, because not only do you have to worry about your offense producing, you have to worry about your defense being able to hold the Buffalo offense in check, an offense that's been playing hot as of late.
Yeah,
I know they only dropped 17 against Baltimore, but they had been playing exceptionally well as of late. Stephon Diggs, the leading receiver in the National Football League.
Credit Baltimore too, though, man. They got a good defense and they D'd up well in that game. I mean, they only gave up one touchdown. You remember, 17 points was a 102-yard return for a touchdown by Buffalo's defense too. So they only gave up 10 points against the Bills. That's a credit to Baltimore.
I mean, I was already keying on the Bashaud Breland versus Stephon Diggs matchup. We talked about it earlier in the year because I don't remember who was. It was like waxing poetic.
Yeah,
about
you remember the matchups they've had before.
Remember
like,
all these?
No, we don't.
Like, I don't actually. As a matter of fact, I don't think Breezy's been real great in those matchups either. But this was the time that he was going to be able to, at least in my opinion, kick it into high gear. I mean, Stephon Diggs is an elite receiver, and I think that Bashaud Breland rises to those occasions when he's asked to do that. But the mm-hmm. biggest effect of this is really it's kind of a ripple effect. It happens to L'Jarius Sneed, because we've talked about it since, I want to say, week 14, week 15, whatever the weeks were that he had those back-to-back sacks. It became abundantly clear that Steve Spagnuolo had figured it out, like with L'Jarius Sneed, as to where he can position him, when he can put him in position.
Can I suggest something real fast before we get into all this?
Larry, can I ask a question?
But we've seen, and I go back to the Denver game in the snow, Ty kind of being that hybrid where he moves down. What if you keep, you know, Sneed as that inside guy, move Ty out the corner, and you put Thornhill and Sorensen back there at safety, and use some
kind
of combination of that.
They've done that before too,
right?
Playing extra safeties.
Right. So yeah. I look at it, I'm like, yes, it's an issue. Clearly, you don't want anybody to be out, but if you have to do it, your fallback plan isn't all that bad. And the way that Ty's been playing, you know, this year, and the way he played in that game against the Browns, obviously he's up for anything and can do anything at those defensive back positions. That may be a route that they decide to go in order to keep, you know, L'Jarius Sneed as that slot guy because of the success they've had with him, and especially last week with, you know, the sack and the quarterback hit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
I mean, whatever
that
you
could
can
be the
do,
route.
Whatever you can do to keep him in that spot, because it became abundantly clear in week 14, 15, somewhere in that ballpark, that Steve Spagnuolo had figured it out with him, and that's what he was going to do. And hell, I said it then, that you're going to see him have a sack in a playoff situation, because that's how good he is at coming off that edge as a nickel defender. And sure enough, a big second down situation as the Browns are starting to get into that scoring territory. Mm-hmm. What's he do? He dials up L'Jarius Sneed. So while we're not really having that discussion, because rightfully so, we're all focused on Patrick Mahomes' head and to a lesser extent his toe, like, you should probably also be worried about Bashaud Breland, because mm-hmm. he was going to play a big part, not in just shutting down Stephon Diggs, or at least attempting to shut down Stephon Diggs, but he was going to play a big part in allowing L'Jarius Sneed to do what he does best.
It stinks that the injury report is going to be another big part of a game coming up this
weekend. Well, I mean, we're this late in the season. Obviously, that's an issue right now. But Andy spoke about it the other day, and he's like, really, the only one was Pat. So, I mean, like, he didn't really talk about the injury. Yeah. He didn't even mention Breland yesterday.
Yeah. You got Breland, you got CEH, you got Watkins. I mean, there's still a lot of injury stuff out there for the Chiefs. And we'll keep you posted throughout the week right here on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Here's some of the great radio highlights from the divisional weekend we'll get to next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Just how drunk was Merrill?
You know, fans, it's games like this that used to get me over-medicated.
We're about to find out the most sober calls from around the NFL. And then we have Merrill.
What are you saying about rosters, sir?
Fesco in the Morning presents...
Sproles in the Backfield.
It is Sproles in the Backfield. Brought to you by Bickamer Electric. We'll get you up to code for your voltage load, BickamerElectric.com. Merrill, probably pretty drunk.
Well,
not in the postseason. Your coaching thing, you know, he's out.
Man. I miss playoff Merrill, though. He was.
I think the Eagles do as well.
Hurts. He was tremendous.
To Ertz.
Yeah.
We didn't get a Hurts to Ertz.
No, no. We probably won't next year either, as they've decided that Carson Wentz is the answer.
I think that paycheck of his decided he probably was the
did, yes.
That's neither here nor there. Somewhere, though.
But where is it?
It's somewhere, for sure. Get the day going on Saturday. A matchup of two teams that we couldn't figure out who was the number two and number three throughout the entire year. It started out, the Baltimore Ravens were the consensus number two best team in the AFC.
Right.
By the end of the season, we couldn't figure out if they were the sixth or seventh or fifth or fourth best team.
Mm-hmm.
But here they are in the divisional round against the Buffalo Bills, who had now become the consensus number two best team. Also, you know, that's what their seed right next to the number says. But it was the Ravens and it was the Bills, and we were in for a shootout, hopefully.
Tucker from 46. This one is heading off the right upright. No good. He hit the left upright in the first quarter, the right upright in the second quarter, and the Ravens remain scoreless.
Josh in shotgun, second and goal at the three, the snap, the pass. It is caught by Diggs, gets a few blocks, and he goes into the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Lamar Jackson back to throw, guns it into the end zone, intercepted. 2 yards deep in the end zone, intercepted by Taron Johnson, and he brings it out, and he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40, the 30, gets a block at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception, touchdown Buffalo!
Snap goes over Lamar Jackson's head. He scoops it up at the 5. He'll throw it out of bounds, but he's going to get flagged for intentional grounding because he was not outside of the tackle box. Jackson is still down in the end zone. He was hit as he released the ball. He is laying on his back in the end zone, and a flag has been thrown as the medical team comes out to take a look at Lamar Jackson. Time has expired at the end of the third quarter, and bad has gotten worse. Fourth and goal, Huntley lobs, end zone. It is broken up, incomplete. Mark Andrews was the target, had a hand on it in a crowd, but he had four Bills around him knocking the ball free. And they are celebrating in Buffalo with 2:41 left to play. It remains the Bills 17, the Ravens 3.
Zeros on the clock, 17 points for the Bills, 3 for the Baltimore Ravens, and the Buffalo Bills advance to the AFC Championship game next Sunday.
I feel like the Buffalo play-by-play guy would have been a little more excited for that Stephon Diggs touchdown had he known that'd be the only one they'd score on offense. But a 17-3 win for the Buffalo Bills. They move on. They'll face the Chiefs, obviously, this coming Sunday. But a couple of things of note from that game. Lamar Jackson knocked out with a concussion, but Bills Mafia is stepping up nice. I don't know if you guys saw the story.
It's really cool.
A bunch of people in Buffalo started donating $8 to a charity Lamar Jackson had supported in the past, and they raised a ton of money helping him out. So, I mean, sports hate is weird sometimes to me, as we've seen some, like, Lynn Elliott stories cropping up again, and I'm like, are we still doing this? We still hate this guy? Seriously? Like, I thought we
figured that out 2 years ago.
Our
that
show
we were
tried
good.
To try to make it all better. We thought.
So sometimes I get a little, like, in my feels about sports hate, because I get it and I don't get it all at the same time. I'm like, I love a good sports rivalry and hatred there, but when it comes to, like, you know, holding a grudge for 30 plus years, I never understand that. But this was one of those instances where, like, off the field, like, sports rivalry kind of stuff got put aside, and know, tip of the cap to the Bills Mafia for raising a ton of money for a charity.
Now, somebody did that for Josh Allen, if I'm not mistaken. Earlier this year, they ended up raising enough money to name a wing of a hospital after his grandmother when she passed away. And so, yeah, that is really cool to see something like that happen, because you're right, Ryan, it doesn't happen at all, really, in sports. And it's interesting when it does, because it makes you take a step back and realize there is still some good out there in this world. It doesn't all have to be just rotten negative stories that we're hearing lately. It can be really good things that come out of, you know, games and events and things of that nature. And people can do good things. And that's a firsthand account of that. That's really neat that they were doing that.
And then Ravens announcer Jerry Sandusky, I think, encompassed probably what every Ravens fan was feeling on that. I mean, how depressed was he at the end of that broadcast? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Downtrodden.
Yeah, because you work so hard and it just
goes from bad to worse.
Over, just like wow. That. You know, like you work so hard all year. You have expectations. If you were the Ravens, you had unfinished business, you know. Getting back to the AFC Championship game, or getting to the AFC Championship game, I should say, was the goal. You wanted to get there because you didn't get there last year. And now two straight years, you got knocked out in the divisional round. And it really doesn't look like, quite honestly, are the Ravens a team on the ascend right now? You got Buffalo, you got Kansas City. All of a sudden, it may be a lot harder to get that one seed and to get into the Super Bowl in the AFC, because I don't think a year ago you were necessarily counting on Buffalo being better than
your run game's not as in good a shape as it was.
Cut Mark Ingram today.
You
can the Chiefs go get him for the playoffs?
You kind of went for it with a couple defensive pieces, and really didn't work out.
Lev Bell hasn't figured it out by now. I think Ingram's going to get it by Sunday.
So, no, I would not necessarily say that's a team on the rise.
Right. I think, too, it also rests on what you think of Lamar Jackson as a quarterback, because it seems to be one end of the spectrum or the other. There is no, like, in-between when it comes to, like, people's opinions of Lamar Jackson and is he a franchise quarterback? Is he a guy you can start and lead your team with? I mean, I tend to agree that he is he won an MVP for a damn reason.
But a better passer 2 years ago. This year it looked more like super dynamic runner, but every time he throws the ball, I don't know. I thought he busted through that with the MVP year, because clearly he was awesome throwing the ball 2 years ago. And this year I look at it and I go, this offense feels like it's Lamar's got to make a ton of plays.
It's like he's struggling to figure out what he wants to do best, if that makes any sense.
No, I think he's listening to the noise.
Because a couple of years ago, you're right, Kling, like his passing, albeit, you know, in a design system that was built around him, and I, you know, by no way am I trying to say he's a system quarterback, but they had really built that from the ground up to suit all of what he does well.
Yeah.
And it seems like they got away from that a little bit and asked him to be more of a runner and less of a manager of the ball and less of, you know, taking shots down the field. Let's wrap the week up, though, where we wrapped the week up on Sunday night, and that was the Saints and the Bucks, and it was Father Time against Old Man River.
Long count, Breeze. Here's the snap. We send the blitzing linebacker, and Breeze flushed out of the pocket. It's a pass. It's intercepted. It's Sean Murphy. Play action fake. Brady throws the ball. Caught. Mike Evans. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. There you go, Tom Brady.
Jameis aligns wide to the right side. Kamara and the Wildcat. Motion coming across is Sanders. They hand it to him. Reverse goes to Jameis, and they got a man wide open. Traquan Smith at the 25, 15, 10, 5, and a touchdown.
Three receivers to the left. Godwin, Tyler Johnson, and Mike Evans. Here's the snap, and Brady has time. Starts the goes the back. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. It's Leonard Fournette. Buccaneers defense, four-man front, dropping Breeze. Breeze dropping gets the pass. Oh, it's intercepted. Picked off by Devin White to the 40. Shoves a guy out of his way. Inside the 30, Devin White down the sideline. And the Bucs have the ball. We're in business deep in Saints territory. Breeze dropping, looking, throws the pass to the right side. It is intercepted on the far sideline. Bucs have the ball.
Final knee taken by Tampa Bay. You don't execute. You got outplayed. And that is what it is. And in the playoffs, you can't do those things against any team. And quite honestly, this is the second year in a row that we've watched the Saints do that in this stadium.
Jay Glazer reporting pretty much immediately after the game. That would be Drew Brees' final game as well. So Drew Brees hanging him up on the way out the door. Took that one final peek over his shoulder down the tunnel in the Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty defining, I thought, the look back,
yeah.
Turn and look back. And then the scene of him, though, out on the field with his kids.
That was cool.
And Tom Brady walking by after the game was over was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Saints are going to be an interesting, like, how are you going to remember? They had some really bad playoff
Lots of bad playoff losses.
Playoff exits.
It's on to the Jameis Winston era now.
You mentioned Drew Brees, like, hanging him up, and I'm just like, all right. Like, I have no emotion over Drew Brees retiring from the game. Should I have more, like, warm feels of Drew Brees retiring? He was a very nice quarterback, won the Super Bowl, obviously, did great things for New Orleans, but I'm just like, hey, he had a nice career. All right, it's time. Like, he looked grandpa-ish.
For whatever reason, to me, he wasn't must-see television.
No, he never was. He Drew, never
Drew
was must-see
was always
television.
Part of that, like, second or maybe even third tier of quarterbacks who were really good at their job, but they're nobody who's just blowing the door, especially over the last couple of years. I mean, there was a time when Drew Brees racking up 5,000 yards and leading that team. I mean,
that's
really impressive.
Josh nailed it. He was never must-see TV.
I got tune in.
I'm tuning in to watch Lamar, right? That's must-see TV.
Rogers,
Patrick, Rodgers, Brady.
Yeah, Brees was like second TV, maybe. Yeah.
I also had to laugh when I saw someone tweet that it was fitting the final thing that Drew Brees saw in his career was somebody taking a knee.
Oh, wow. That's how we're going to end it. Sproles in the backfield, brought to you by Bickmer Electric. We're going to wire it right and hook you up tonight, BickmerElectric.com. It really took to Sunday for some to recognize this about Andy Reid. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Your first.
Back in Tuesday edition, Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski producing. Don't forget, tune in tomorrow and Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, between 8:30 and 9. We want you to listen to the entire 4 hours of the show, please. Just come whenever. But 8:30 to 9, Wednesday and Thursday, every 5 minutes during those 2 half hours, they're going to get somebody registered to win a 4-pack of tickets to Sunday's game. That's right here on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Chance to win 4 tickets to Sunday's matchup. Just have to be listening for the sounder. Every 5 minutes, it's going to play. Be caller 15. We're going to get people registered for a 4-pack. That's right, a 4-pack of tickets to Sunday's playoff game. You noticed a very strange reaction coming out of Sunday from a few. I don't even know what to call these weird circles of rings of hell or whatever of people who are taking Sunday to help build their, I guess, perception resume of Andy Reid.
Yeah, it was really weird. I did a lot of listening and watching yesterday to the national networks, and maybe that's my fault for, you know, listening and watching the national networks, but I like to get a feel of what people are saying. You know, I like to feel like, you know, that people have a good stranglehold on what's going on here in Kansas City with the Chiefs and whatnot, and it's clear they don't, because there were a number of different analysts yesterday, from Colin Cowherd to the NFL Network, talking about, you know, Andy Reid. And we can talk about perception and does it matter? And at the end of the day, it does matter, because it does affect the psyche of us here in Kansas City. It affects the psyche of every, you know, local market. I heard from Cleveland people last week. I heard from Buffalo people already this week, what the national people are saying. Like, we do. Everybody cares to hear what the perception of them is nationally. And the Super Bowl win was clearly that crown jewel for Andy Reid. We know that. He won the Super Bowl. Boom. He's in, right? But yesterday's win, or I guess Sunday's win is what it was, I think it was more significant in the public perception of Andy Reid. Last year, everybody was backing the Chiefs, right? Everybody loved the Chiefs. Everybody loved Andy Reid. Everybody was on board. There's no way they would lose. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's the Chiefs. It's Andy Reid. Let's go, baby. Let's win that Super Bowl. And it was almost like when we got to Miami last year, the Super Bowl, it was almost like a formality that the Chiefs were there, because everybody expected them to be there. And then they win the Super Bowl. We have COVID, everything that goes on. And as soon as the season started, it felt like the talk all around the league circles from people who cover the league was, can the Chiefs flip a switch? And then since they stopped blowing everybody out, Josh, it really was, boy, I don't know if the Chiefs can flip a switch and get this done. Are they suffering from a Super Bowl hangover? They went 14-1 as starters this year. They beat playoff teams in every chance they had. They won their playoff game, and people were still asking, are they suffering from that Super Bowl hangover? Are they going to be able to flip that switch? And I think there were a lot of doubters about the Kansas City Chiefs running it back from a national level. Colin Cowherd's been talking for the last few weeks, the Chiefs aren't any good. NFL Network, who's been on the Chiefs bandwagon, they've even said some negative, if you will, and I use the air quote things, about Andy Reid. And there were a ton of doubters on whether or not the Chiefs were going to run it back. And that win on Sunday, with Chad Henne playing the final 22 minutes for the Chiefs, I think was a game changer for the way people see this team. Because they look at this team and they all wondered, could they do it? Would they be able to do it? And then they saw they did it with Chad Henne as the quarterback and Andy Reid calling a fourth down play and Henne running for 13.9 yards on third and 14. And I think that was the moment where everybody finally bought in and understood, okay, this team is different. We spent all year nationally trying to figure out if this team was going to suffer a Super Bowl hangover. They were putting doubts in the mind of Chiefs fans because they weren't blowing anybody out. People kept raising these questions about the Chiefs, and they just kept going about business and taking care of business in the regular season. But that win on Sunday, that was like the perception win that everybody nationally needed to see, who clearly wasn't buying in and wondering, are they suffering from that Super Bowl hangover? Because there were numerous mea culpas yesterday of people going, I was wrong about this Chiefs team. No, and I almost cursed, no bleep you were wrong about this Chiefs team. That's what we've been trying to tell you all along. I didn't need Sunday's win to validate anything for me because I always believed that this was a team that was going to run it back that didn't have a Super Bowl hangover. But nationally, with all the doubt and Super Bowl hangover questions and could they run it back and how hard it is to do, I think that win on Sunday cleared up all of those people who were doubting whether or not this team could do it or not.
And you know that there are people waiting for the I told you so.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, there were probably people lined up to be the I told you so, that this team couldn't hack it, and kind of waiting for that defending champ to get knocked out type of thing. But yeah, sorry to disappoint.
Yeah, I am too, because you know what? Here we are with a team that not only won a playoff game without Patrick Mahomes for the second half, they were on their way to blowing the Browns out, guys. I mean, they were up 19-3 in that game, right? They were on their way to blowing the Browns out. They had scored five of their first six possessions. They scored on their first four possessions. They were only a missed field goal away from scoring on their first six out of six possessions. They never punted in that game. And that was the moment where people who were there nationally had the, oh, I guess this team can run it back. I guess there really is nothing stopping this football team. Should have been buying in all along. Shouldn't have need Sunday game to make you realize Chiefs are damn good.
You know what today is the anniversary of?
AFC Championship last year.
Oh, yeah.
And we're ready to go for the AFC Championship game for the second straight year. At the 39th parallel, Andy's Acre, the kick is away. They go on a direct snap. It comes to Derrick Henry, off tackle left, touchdown Tennessee. Two drives for the Titans, a field goal and now a touchdown on a direct snap to the running back Derrick Henry at 5:52 to go in the first quarter. Here comes a blitz, flip pass, left it goes, Tyreek Hill, 10-5, Cheetah touchdown! Left front pylon of 8 yards, full on speed, and the Cheetah runs to the end zone, and the Chiefs are on the board with the touchdown to answer the Titan touchdown. They fake to Henry, they throw left, wide open is the tackle who came in, Dennis Kelly, tackled over tackle, and that bag of tricks is full for the Titans. A monster drive, 15-play drive for Tennessee that takes over 9 minutes off the clock. And it has been now touchdown Tennessee, touchdown Kansas City, touchdown Tennessee. 4:07 left, second quarter. Tennessee 17, Kansas City 7. Tennessee scoring on three consecutive drives. Now throw left side, caught! Tyreek Hill, touchdown! Kansas City, the second of the game for the Cheetah. This one a 20-yard bullet. Three-man rush again by Tennessee. Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career. Chiefs trying to pressure Tannehill. He's under all kinds of pressure. Scrambling to his right. He's at the 35, and Dirty Dan Sorensen lights him up at the 37. He gained 6. He needed 11. 7 because Dirty Dan Sorensen just put on a football camp tackle and lights up Ryan Tannehill as he tried to scramble for a first down. Chiefs trying to pressure Tannehill. He's under all kinds of pressure. Scrambling to his right. He's at the 35 and Dirty Dan Sorensen lights him up at the 37. He gained 6. He needed 11 because Dirty Dan Sorensen just put on a football camp tackle and lights up Ryan Tannehill as he tried to scramble for a first down. Handoff, Damian Williams off. Tackle near side. Touchdown! Kansas City just inside the near front pylon. A 3-yard touchdown. And Kansas City has a 27-17 lead. Just beginning hammer time. Twist motion by the Titans with defensive pressure, but Mahomes has time here. Throws it long. He's got a man in the middle of the field. Watkins, 15, 10, 5, angling left. Touchdown! Kansas City, a 60-yard touchdown! Now they can't get the play call. They're trying to hear it. 2 seconds, 1 second. They snap it just in time to avoid a delay of game. Tannehill under pressure. Still moving to his right. Frank Clark chasing. Knocks him down! Tannehill goes down! Shark-infested waters! Stay out of the water because Frank Clark the Shark has just given Kansas City its first trip to the Super Bowl in 50 years. Austin Ryder snaps to Mahomes and a knee. He goes to a knee and a backflip by DeMarcus Robinson. That is going to do it. 50 years of waiting. 50 years. And the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs kingdom hoping, hoping, hoping. Their dreams have come true. Hail! Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever. Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy in the stadium that was Lamar Hunt's dream. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 35, Tennessee 24.
And all we do is continue to prove to them who the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are.
1 year ago today, that's right, Chiefs won the AFC Championship.
According to Bob, too, that might have been the last game Frank Clark was active.
I did not say that. You said that in our ear during the highlights. I don't necessarily disagree with your take on that.
He was clearly active in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Last home game.
Is that what it was? Last home game?
Frank Clark's last home game here at Arrowhead Stadium.
I wish he has a big game this Sunday.
So 1 year ago today, the Chiefs captured the AFC Championship. So.
I love listening back to that. Like that and the Royal stuff,
we're
the highlights of winning championships.
Way back machine to last year, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's so far.
As bad as 2020 is, because we're still currently in 2020 as far as I'm concerned until till we're all out of this COVID thing, it went fast though. That was a year ago already that they won the AFC Championship? My God. Year went fast. Where did
it's
it go?
As if we did fast forward to the playoffs.
We sat on the couch for a year. Oh wait, we did.
Yes, pretty much.
Ain't doing it for another. I'll tell you that.
Oh, the couch is comfortable.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, it's kind of comfortable. Brett Favre weighing in on Patrick Mahomes.
Favre,
and he's warning him to listen to the doctors, to be very aware of concussion issues.
I played 321 straight games. It kind of goes against everything that I stood for when I played. But you got to be smart. You got to be smart. I was never faced with a decision that he potentially will face this week. And ultimately, the decision may fall on the doctors. And if they choose that he doesn't play, then it's the right move because of long-term damage. And when you're in the moment and you're young, you're bulletproof, man. But I'm 51 years old, and I wonder what tomorrow will bring because of concussions more than anything. And at 20, what is Patrick? 24, 25? I had it all figured out. So I urge him and all players to be extremely smart.
So that's Brett Favre via TMZ to Patrick Mahomes.
Did somebody get the memo to Brett Favre that they believe it was a pinched nerve and not a concussion, though?
I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass.
Let's see what that has to do with anything.
Oh, I because, you know, concussion is a different injury, but whatever.
Because you shouldn't mess with I totally agree.
If it's a concussion, absolutely. Absolutely. But if it's not a concussion and Brett Favre is just spouting, then you know, got to get your facts straight.
That's
right?
An answer. I don't know.
Did Andy call down there and go, Brett, what would you do?
No, Brett weighs in anyway now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went from a guy that never talked to like weighing in on everything.
He's got that NFL radio show. So
he does. Mm-hmm.
He does weigh in quite a bit.
Andy does have that WWBFD, though, that bracelet.
He does?
No, he doesn't have a What Would Brett Favre Do bracelet.
I would have bought that in a second. Like, he does?
We're done here.
That sounds like if you were going to say Brett Favre wears a bracelet, this is what would Brett Favre
Andy
do?
Andy Reid has a What Would Brett Favre
Do
bracelet.
I thought you meant Brett had the bracelet.
Made out with Josh.
No. I thought you meant Brett was wearing a bracelet and he was trying to sell him. What would Brett Favre
do? Roll?
Yeah, I'd buy that. Man.
Or Crocs with them on
yeah,
there?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that, so...
What would Favre do, Crocs?
What would Favre do? Something that wasn't right.
Send a text picture of his nuts.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
This comes from just some dude on Twitter. Per source, Texans have zeroed in on Eric Bieniemy as their next head coach. There's one issue currently being negotiated. Eric wants partial roster control.
Roster control.
Things are fluid, but are getting closer. That from just some dude on Twitter.
All right.
I'm not even kidding. That's the guy's name. So, I think that's about as official as it gets.
Eric Bieniemy.
From the text line 816, will someone tell Brett to mind his business and worry about his Wranglers?
Is he
there
still
too.
With Wranglers?
Rustler.
Those are the Husky jeans you and I used to wear.
No, he's a Wrangler. That copper getting to his head.
Right.
Those copper fits are fitting a little snug right now on Brett, is what you're saying. Huh? I will check in tomorrow on the lay of the land in Buffalo. See
Steve
how they're
Weish
feeling.
Coming up at 10:30 with Cody and Gold.
Love when he coached the Bengals.
That's not true. They advertise Steve Weish all the time. He never comes on the show. I don't believe.
I was told less than an hour ago Steve Weish will be there.
I heard that bit before. I don't think it's real, but we'll see.
I think it might even be the real Steve Weish too.
So we'll get the lay of the land in Buffalo. We'll finally get to the Bills aspect of this thing, right? That there's a game. Maybe by tomorrow. But we'll check in definitely on the Bills tomorrow. Also, Joe Mays will join us tomorrow at 8:15.
Will Shields at 7:30 as well.
Cody and Gold
locking
coming your way
it
next.
In on the air, baby.
And 8:30. Get registered to win playoff tickets.
8:30
tonight.
I hope 5 minutes.
Everyone was writing this down. That
yes,
is so
a lot.
Much.
We're writing it down for ourselves as well. Cody Gold, come your way next on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
And
I got to go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, Jinx.
Oh, man, I got to go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you later.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.